Is Alyssa here? Is she in the service this morning? Her little daughter, Rain, fractured her elbow a couple days ago. And she was asking the church to pray that it wasn't serious. Evidently, when a child fractures their elbow, there's a lot of nerves and things like that inside that can be damaged, and it can be quite serious, needing surgery. And we're thanking the Lord that it was, as the doctor said, only a fracture, that she's going to be fine. She'll have to wear a sling for a little bit. But Father, I lift a Rain in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing in her elbow. And be with Alyssa, God, and she has a lot on her plate. And we just ask that you would be strong in that family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open them up to Exodus chapter 20. Today we come to the ninth commandment in our study of the Ten Commandments, asking the question posed in the title of the series, do they still matter? Do the Ten Commandments still matter? We have seen thus far in both the Old and the New Testament that these laws of God, in fact, do still matter. The commandments are God's standards for a relationship with Him and with each other. Last week, we looked at the eighth commandment. Does anyone remember being here last week? Thou shalt not steal. That's right. We saw that this law is still relevant, and we learned so much about the various ways in which we can break this commandment without even realizing it. Today, the ninth law challenges us to examine what we say about people and the truthfulness of our testimony. As we have done, we'll look at God's reason for giving it, then we'll look at what the Old Testament has to say, and then we will look at the New Testament, and then we will apply it to our modern day lives and culture. So let's go ahead and read it. Drop down to verse 16 of Exodus chapter 20. And let's read it. It's not a real long one. It's, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The scope of this commandment is a lot more broad than one would think, meaning that it encompasses several different areas of what we say about others. The word to bear, as we look at the verse on the screen, to bear in this context means to utter, to speak, to give an opinion or a verbal witness to what another person has done. That is to bear. God, being the God of truth, wants His people to also be truth bearers, because when we are truthful, it points to our God who is truthful. Besides being living witnesses of the God of all truth, remember that this commandment is presented in the section of the commandments that speak to right relationship with each other. Those are commandments 6 through 10. Commandments 1 through 4 speak to our relationship with God. So let me ask you this morning, what kind of society would we have if truth was not valued? For the new soon-to-be nation of Israel, it was of paramount importance that they tell the truth to one another. In addition to the trust they were to give God, they had to build trust with one another. Who knows that it takes a while to build trust? Amen, it does. So they were to be truthful witnesses. What is a witness? Well, it is one who can give a first-hand account of something seen, heard, or experienced. Therefore, this new nation of Hebrews going in to possess the land that they were given were expected to be witnesses of the truth and not liars, thus labeled false witnesses. There are two types of false witnesses, according to Old Testament scriptures. One, a type of false witness, here's a false witness, one who should be a reliable witness in a court of law by telling the truth, but they do not. That is one type of false witness. The other is a false witness who lies or spreads rumors about their neighbor. The neighbor is everybody who is not ourself. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Hello, neighbor." Very good. Very good. So we all understand who our neighbor is. In the culture of the Jews, as I've said, but it's worth repeating, it was essential to tell the truth in court. We'll talk about this first. They didn't have video cameras, and they didn't have cell phones. They relied on the truthfulness of a witness to establish fact in cases of all civil, criminal, and religious natures. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 19, verses 15 says this about witnesses. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. So in a court of law, you needed two witnesses to establish that, yes, something is true. Here's how the NIV, I think the NIV has a really clear rendering of this verse. One witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's because people often get their stories wrong. There are different perspectives, but sometimes they're not truthful either. So they needed multiple witnesses to establish and corroborate a fact. Many times, life and death hung in the balance of a truthful witness. And because of this, the law also said that if the witness lied, then they would get the same punishment as the accused. So it was a very big deal to tell the truth in courts. You know, this law of speaking truth is foundational for all people everywhere who desire a judicial system to be fair to all people. Yet we know that liars sit on the witness stand every day. And when they do not tell the truth, it is called perjury. In America, normally there are penalties for perjuring oneself. Usually the punishment is jail time, or at least it used to be. But it seldom happens that one is punished because lying is so pervasive these days. Our jails simply wouldn't hold all the perjurers. So a jury, and sometimes a judge, must decide who is lying less. But for ancient Israel, if you perjured yourself, the consequences were swift and extreme. The two false witnesses that lied against Jesus, do you remember that story? They couldn't pin anything on him, so they got two witnesses, false witnesses, to lie against him. And this is what they end up sending him to the cross for, based on their testimony. They were evidently given permission to lie, and they were guaranteed to not suffer any consequences, making the acts of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees all that more evil. And here's why. It's because the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin were actually the ones breaking God's law, but accusing Jesus of breaking it, specifically the prohibition against blasphemy. And how ironic. The Pharisees and the Sanhedrin accused Jesus of claiming to be God, while they themselves were playing God and excusing lying and being a false witness, clearly stated in the Ten Commandments. Pretty amazing to think about. So to build a stable society with justice for all, God told his people in the ninth commandment to not bear false witness. But the commandment went even further. It wasn't only in a courtroom where they were to be truth tellers. They were to tell the truth about people while at all times being truthful, yet do so without hurting the other person's reputation or character. If it hurt the person's character, then they were breaking the ninth commandment as a false witness. Remember, being a witness involves a firsthand account. Thus, the law was aimed at preventing something called slandering, but often extended to gossiping, even if the gossip was true, if it hurt a person's character or reputation. Here's the definition of slander. It is oral communication of false and malicious statements that damage the reputation of another. And here's the definition of gossip. You can see that they're closely related, but not exactly the same. Gossip is rumor or talk of a personal, sensational, and intimate nature, sometimes confiding secrets that shouldn't be told, shouldn't be known. Now, let me say this. While both may be true, and sometimes it is necessary to warn and caution others of someone else's character or their potential for inflicting harm. Like if I'm going to somebody's house and they say, hey man, he's off his rocker right now. He's got a gun and, you know, he's been drinking for 7 days straight. And, you know, he's got a problem with alcoholism. Be real careful. Man, thank you for letting me know that before I go over there. That is not slander. You're warning me. You're letting me know. Sometimes it is necessary to let somebody know the facts if it pertains to their safety or some information they should know for their well-being. But if the intent of spreading the information is to hurt someone else's character and reputations by getting them to agree with you, then the person doing the slandering or gossiping would be guilty of breaking the ninth commandment. Well, what if I didn't mean to hurt anybody? I didn't know. I didn't even think about it. Then it is an inadvertent sin. You know what else is an inadvertent sin? Manslaughter. Manslaughter is inadvertent sin, but you can still go to jail for it. There's still a penalty for manslaughter. You still, and regarding slandering, whether you knew it or not, if you still have broken the law of God, and therefore, repentance is necessary. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Generally speaking, the law was given and pertained to protecting those of innocent character and good reputation who were being damaged by accusations of wrong behavior. Who's ever been damaged by accusations of wrong behavior in here? Probably all of us could raise our hands. Some of us deserved it. But regarding slandering, the slandering was done to hurt reputation. And slandering can lead to dangerous situations for those being slandered. Rumors get started and then they spiral out of control. Has anybody ever heard of the Salem witch trials? Young women were being accused of witchcraft and practicing black magic, and they were accused of being witches, and they were literally burned at the stake, and it was slandering that caused that. You can still go back to Salem and see the areas where they had these kangaroo courts and trials, often bringing false witnesses against these young women. But today, we call slandering defamation. And there are consequences for defaming people. Libel is written defamation, and slander is spoken. Now, I want to give you a little quiz here. Does anyone recognize this guy? No, it's not Tyler Ferber. Anybody recognize it? Clean cut kid, right? He looks a little like Tyler. It's probably not him. I give up, Pastor. Now, do you recognize him? Next picture. Nick Salmon. Nick Salmon was defamed. Here's the article. Here's what was written about this. CNN settled a lawsuit with Covington Catholic High School student Nick Salmon, who was the subject of a year-old viral video. This was 5 years ago. Unbelievable, isn't it? I was telling my wife, I think this just happened like last January. It's been 5 years. Young people, that's what you, that's the blessing you can look forward to as you get older. A video from 2019 went viral that year, and it appeared to show Salmon and his classmates taunting a Native American man. Many outlets reported that they were the instigators in the conflict, that it was Salmon and his friends, arrogant little rich punks. But it turned out only to distort the actual events that unfolded. The longer video revealed that the students had seemingly been harassed by a group of black Hebrew Israelite protesters, which had not been seen in the original viral clip. The lawsuit, which was filed 5 years ago in March of 2019, addressed 4 television broadcasts and 9 articles specifically alleging that they contain statements toward or about Salmon that are defamatory. They sought $275 million from CNN. 200 of that was punitive, which means you're in trouble for doing that, and this is what you have to do. 75 was actual harm. They had to pay it. Salmon won the lawsuit. I think the kid's going to do all right going forward. And that was just CNN. There were 4 other lawsuits pending against other networks and newspapers that hasn't been divulged in the public yet unless you really search for it. The CNN accusations are totally and unequivocally false. And CNN would have known them to be untrue had it undertaken any reasonable efforts to verify their accuracy before publication of its false and defamatory accusations, writes the article. So again, going back to the Bible, here is what the Lord says again in Leviticus 19:16. We'll see it again. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. For I am the Lord, and this is required for all of God's people, and really for society in general. We've talked about the universal scope of the Ten Commandments. So here's a few more verses from the Old Testament before we go to the New Testament. In Psalm 101:5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. God loves truth. Proverbs 20:19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. This can be where slandering and gossiping overlap. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. A babbler, one who just spreads rumors. Paul was accused by the Greeks of being a babbler. The Greeks had never heard the gospel, and they just go, this guy just grabs some bits and pieces from all different religions, and he's just spreading something false. He doesn't even know them to be true. Basically, they were saying he was kind of a slanderer and a gossiper. So what about the New Testament? While Jesus makes no explicit verbatim condemnations of gossip and slandering, his teachings strongly convey the spiritual importance of loving and not defaming or falsely accusing one's neighbor. He writes, here he says in Matthew 15, verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. So the Lord is condemning all these things, and he puts lying right there with these things. But there are many verses in the New Testament, outside of the Gospels, and still in the Gospels, about lying, and that is what slander is at its core. It's lying to injure someone, and God hates it. Whether it is general lying or slandering, God despises both. If you are slandering somebody, then you and me, if I'm doing it, we're liars. Here's a few things that the Bible says about liars. And it's not that our pants are on fire. That comes later. Revelation 21, verses 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, those are bad people, right? Those are some serious things. The sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consumed to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the pants on fire part. And this is the second death, is what the Bible calls it. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus now speaking about lying in a more general sense, about where lies come from. He's speaking to the Pharisees and it says, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." And if we are lying, we are listening to the wrong father. We're saying, okay, yeah, lie sounds pretty good. I'll speak that lie, and we are no longer agreeing with God, what he says about truth. We are agreeing with God's enemy and lying as he lies. The Greek word for slander in the Bible is diabolos. It is from this word that we get our English word devil. The devil himself is a slanderer, lying against God's good name day and night, telling us things about God that simply aren't true. But if we begin to listen to those lies, suddenly unbelief creeps in, and we become limited in our faith. Who knows that unbelief limits our faith? It's true. And when our faith falters, it is not very long before we walk away from God completely. The devil slandered God to Eve. Eve bought into the lie, and we all know the rest of his story. She believed the lie. The devil is still slandering God. He's still like, oh, God is, how could a loving God let someone good die? I'm not minimizing the pain of that. What I'm saying is that the devil has done a good job at convincing us things he does are God's fault. So how does the ninth commandment impact us today in 2024? Slandering is plastered all across our screens, especially in this political season. In fact, there is so much going on that it is nearly impossible to believe anybody about anything. Because all these slanderers, doesn't matter who you're voting for, they're slandering the other person, and they're all doing it. They are breaking the ninth commandment without a flinch. I think that we need to be really careful regarding talking about people. If we do not know something to be absolutely true about someone, then don't tell it if it's going to hurt their character or malign them. Unless it is to, again, as I mentioned, to warn somebody, as I mentioned earlier. Now, if you do know it to be true, I know it's absolutely be true. I saw him I saw him, you know, with the thing in his hand. Don't pass along the news if it will malign their character. I'm so glad that my sins are not hung out on the clothesline for everybody to see. I think we all can appreciate that, absolutely. And you know what? We all can tend to do this, and we need to be careful at it. Talk about somebody else hurting their character, maligning them. Now, I don't need to tell anyone here this morning that lying is bad. Or maybe I do. I don't know. Hopefully not. God hates it. He doesn't hate you. He hates the lying. He loves you. As Christians, we need to endeavor to tell the truth at all times, and sometimes it can be tough to tell the truth. And it can be embarrassing to tell the truth. It's better to don't even ask me the question. In fact, we must stand up for truth. Because without truth and people willing to tell it at all costs, evil will multiply. We need to not only tell the truth, but we need to stand up for the truth. We have seen that in our own country recently, where people are afraid to tell the truth for fear of being canceled, arrested, or bankrupted. So they remain silent. And when they do, liars become more emboldened. Church splits occur when people slander and gossip. All church splits begin with that. Slander and gossip. Whether about the pastor, the worship team, or something else, the devil creeps in the door when slandering happens. Be careful not to believe the devil's lies when he is slandering you. You know, the devil lies about you. You're ugly. You have no value. You're stupid. Your life is always going to be like that. There is no hope at the end of this road for you. Your parents are dumb. Your kids are dumb. Everybody else is dumb, including yourself. Man, those are lies of the enemy. He just gets in there. And what he's hoping will do is go tell somebody else. Hey, you want to hear how dumb they are? Let me tell you. Because when we do that, we feel better about ourselves. I might be dumb, but let me tell you about how dumb this person really is. Therefore, I raise ourselves up, all listening to a slanderous lie of the devil. And when we believe those lies, whether about yourself or someone else, our brain passes them on to our subconscious, which then helps those ideas to become reality. So how do we stop the devil? With truth, right? The truth is what sets us free. Lies can keep us in bondage, but the truth of God's word sets us free. So church, be truth tellers. Don't malign your neighbor. Love them. Again, how can Jesus say that the entire law, all these commandments that we're studying, are summed up in two phrases? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, assuming that we love ourselves so we can love our neighbor the same. It's all about love. And if we love someone, we will not want their reputation to be stained or their character maligned. You want the best for them. Next time you're tempted to bear false witness about someone, how about pray for them instead and keep the facts between yourself and God. It's a novel idea, isn't it? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's so simple, yet it's so deep, and it has so many applications to our life. God, I pray this morning for all those that have listened to the lies of the enemy about themselves. God, I pray for freedom, for they are made in the image of God. They are the apple of God's eye. He loves you just the way you are. Yes, he desires change and godliness, but he loves you for who you are. Father, I pray for grace for people to be nice to themselves. Lord, I pray for those that have taken an offense from someone and they've carried around that offense and they feel they need to tell other people how they have been offended. I pray that those rumors, that gossiping, the slander would stop this morning, beginning with myself. Father, I pray that you give us the strength and the courage to speak truth and to put away lying and deceitful lips. Lord, I thank you for loving us this morning with a grace so great that we can't even fathom your thoughts for us, which your word says are perpetually good for us. Your thoughts for us are good. I thank you, Lord, and Father, I pray that you'd help us to walk in freedom and the reminder this Sunday, how important it is to be truth tellers and to stand up for truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. We will finish this series next Sunday, and then we will have praise night the Monday night. See you tonight for the film.